Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Number one, we start with, who do you want to be in the marketplace? Because I think your pricing has everything to do with your positioning and your brand in the marketplace. So do you want to be a premium brand?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a luxury brand? Because you got luxury and you got premium. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to be a mass market brand? It's not a good or bad.
This is, you got to pick just, which one
you got to just pick.
Yeah,
right. How you want your positioning to be, and if you want to go super volume, and you're charging, you know, $7 a month for a membership, and you want tens of thousands of people in there, fantastic, right? Or if you want to go premium and you want to charge $10,000, $15,000, $25,000, but with less clients, mm-hmm. fantastic. Or if you want to go super luxury and it's $100,000 per client plus percentage of upside, then you could do that as well. But I think it really boils down to, who do you want to be in the marketplace? And then that's going to dictate your marketing, your conversion mechanism, your ad costs, and all those different things.
Hey, business owners, what if I told you that for just 90 cents a day, you could get access to $45,000 in business funding? I just launched my Credit Mastery community, where inside you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program worth tens of thousands of dollars that's going to teach you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that's going to be working with you to reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be providing you 2 coaching calls a week where we're going to teach you the exact banks that you need to go to get access to anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat access $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his credit score by over 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below the video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a father, husband, mentor, coach, entrepreneur, investor, public speaker, and business growth expert extraordinaire. He's the CEO of Strategic Scale Institute, a company dedicated to equipping entrepreneurs with the tools, information, and resources needed to multiply their profits, all while minimizing burnout, which has resulted in his clients earning an estimated $1 billion, you heard me correctly, $1 billion in revenue to date. Whether he's on stage teaching high-level sales strategies on how to turn clicks into customers, or online teaching marketing masterclasses on how to convert content to cash flow, his mission to help entrepreneurs grow their businesses consistently, predictably, and sustainably is proof that his success in the space is not coincidence, it's confirmation. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Atlanta, Georgia, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Marquell Russell. What's going on, family?
What's up, man? Hey, man, what a, you took your time on that.
Yeah. Had to, brother.
How are you, family? I'm feeling amazing, man. I'm excited to be here. I'm honored.
Good. Listen, man, I'm excited to have you on too. We was talking about it off camera, but you're a gentleman that I've been following for quite some time now. And when we talk about all things business growth and business strategy, your name is always at the top of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So it definitely an honor for me to be able to have you on here and to give the game to my people and just have a great conversation, man.
Thank you, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Most definitely. So I did an okay job introducing you, but obviously nobody knows Marquell Russell better than the man himself. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Marquell Russell?
Yeah, so in short, I mean, it's crazy because bios kind of always weird me out a little bit.
Okay.
Because, you know, the bios typically just give you the highlights, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like, man, who is he talking about? Right? So, like, in short, so I'm Marquell, like you said, from Atlanta, Georgia. I actually dropped out of high school in 10th grade, went full-time in the street. So, like, when I was growing up early, I always been entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. right? So when we lived in like apartments, I was the guy knocking on your door like, hey, can I take your trash out? Then when we moved to neighborhoods with lawns, I was knocking on your door like, hey, can I cut your grass? Right. So I was always figuring out a way to make some money. Mm. And then when I got into school, I was the guy who had the weed. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you were smoking, you wanted to buy weed, whatever, I was that guy because I always had different connections. So I always been entrepreneurial, and the only people who I knew growing up who had money were drug dealers, like my cousins. Mm-hmm. So I went that particular route. I didn't know anybody else. I had NBA dreams and NFL dreams like most young black boys from the hood, right? But I didn't really see that. Yep. And a lot of people around me who I told that to, adults, they used to always say, you know, well, that's cool, just make sure you got a plan B or something to fall back on, that type of thing, right? So I was like, so my plan B was to sell drugs. Mm-hmm. So I dropped out of high school in 10th grade. And the ideal job where I'm from was working for the city.
Okay.
And if you know what working for the city is, that's like, you know, fixing the potholes in the street or taking, you know, the trash trucks that come through. And I was like, nah, I can't do that, right? So I was kind of already dibbling dabbling. 10th grade, I dropped out because at that point I was driving to school. I was already making some money. And I was just like, I didn't really see how Algebra 2 was going to lead me to being a millionaire. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't making sense no more. So I dropped, I stopped going regularly. I would go in there and leave. Mm-hmm. And then one day my mom was like, these people keep calling me. She was like, if you're not going to go, you know, just don't go. Right. And I was like, all I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? Let's see. So I went back the next day. Me and one of the administrators got into it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, that's it. Yeah, so yeah. I went full-time in the streets. And then fast forward, 19, I was in jail and my first son was born. Mm. And the first time I met my first son was like in visitation. Mm. So his mom brought him to see me. Mm-hmm. So at that point, my dad wasn't around when I was growing up. So I was like, okay, I need to get out and do something different.
Right.
So I got out and I was like, I'm going to try the two job thing because I know one job ain't going to make me enough money. So let me get two jobs. I'm going to do this thing legit. That didn't work out. Yeah. Right? I had a job working at Petro. Who was familiar with Atlanta, like right off Bankhead Highway, you said Petro, it's a truck stop.
Okay.
So I'm in there changing oil and tires on big 18-wheelers. I'm covered in oil every day. It's like, it's bad. Mm-hmm. So one day I get a check, I take my son to the Atlanta Fair, and it's like some stuff we can't do because my check don't go far enough, right? Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Let me go back to what I know best. And I was like, I'm going to just do it for a little while to get myself together. So when I went making the streets this time, I started a record label because I knew people who rapped. I knew people who did beats. But I didn't do either one of them. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take these guys who rap, people who do beats. And I got this book called Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business by Donald Passman. So I was like, let me learn this music business thing, right? Because where I'm from, like, you get money in the streets, and then you start a label, right? Mm-hmm. Just like I saw, you know, Dre Parents do with Rap-A-Lot, you know, allegedly, you know, Master P with No Limit, a lot of that. Right. Rockefeller, you know what I'm saying? So we saw a lot of examples, and that's kind of what I perceived from that.
Right.
So I started putting it together. I always been a visionary. I always had some influence. And then that led me into being in the club every night. In Atlanta, the club is popping every night. So I'm out promoting artists. So I'm out. And then one of my homies introduced me to his cousin, who happened to be opening a new strip club. Mm. And he was like, they need a promoter to come in and get a night. And I ain't really nothing about club promotions. But one of my clients and good friend, Crystal Brown, I heard her say one time, she said, my yes has always been more powerful than my gift.
Okay.
And I was like, that's powerful. I was like, that's the story of my life. Because even the club promotions, the streets, the music business, all of that, I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't really have the gift to do it. Mm-hmm. It was just my yes that got me in these different doors, right? So I started doing club promotion. And then while I was in the club, I went to one of my boys' mixtape release party. Mm. I went to his mixtape release party. And while I'm in there, somebody walks up to me. He thought I was somebody else. And he was like, man, how many people you know got a cell phone? And I was like, well, everybody know got a cell phone. And he was like, what if every time they paid their bill, you got paid? Mm. I was like, well, that'd be dope. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, some of my mentors in the area, they're looking to expand. We're doing a meeting Wednesday. I want to invite you out. You know, they're making millions. And I'm like, all right, cool. Legitimate millionaires. Let's go see, right?
Yeah.
So, again, that yes again. So I went to the meeting. They start breaking down this new ground floor opportunity, this network marketing opportunity. I didn't know what that was. But it was like ground floor opportunity. Like, what if you was in the room when Facebook got started, when Google first got started? And I was like, that'd be dope.
Right.
And it was like, that's this type of opportunity. It was $500 to get in. I was like, I'm in. Like, mm-hmm. We blow that in the club. So I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm in. I paid my way to get in. I paid half my brother to get in. And I had almost my first two, because it was like, all you got to do is get two, and they'll get two, and they'll get two, and they'll mm-hmm. get two, and you're making all this money. So I was sold. Fast, I didn't make as much money as I wanted doing that.
Mm-hmm.
However, it introduced me to personal development. It introduced me to personal development, and it introduced me to online marketing mm-hmm. and direct response marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into that full throttle because I needed to learn how to market to build that business, because my circle then wasn't interested in doing like legitimate business.
Right.
Right. So I went all in on that. Fast forward a little bit. I actually, we started teaching other businesses how to get leads. We started off teaching network marketers how to get leads for their business and how to recruit people. And then I found like this massive gap that most businesses go out of business because they don't know how to consistently get clients.
Right.
So we went all in on that, started a company called Client Attraction University.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably helped over 3,000 businesses, you know, with their marketing and their client attraction process, just clients that we work with. And that company came in Inc. 5000, fastest growing company. And then throughout that process, though, we had to learn how to scale businesses, mm-hmm. right? So we learned how to market. We learned the marketing. We learned the sales. But that's just a small piece of actually growing a company. So then we discovered that it's actually eight pillars, which we came up with this process called a predictable scale flywheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's actually eight pillars that you need to build a business that's profitable, scalable, sustainable, enjoyable, and sellable if you decide you want to sell. Because as we was helping these businesses get more clients and generate more revenue, sometimes their business will implode because they didn't have team, they didn't have systems, they didn't have infrastructure, the financial frameworks, and that type of stuff. So we had to help them install those things as we learned it because nobody else was teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go out and like put these things together and create these different operating systems. So that birthed Strategic Scale Institute, where now we focus on helping businesses build companies that can actually run without them.
Man, that was a very great way to break it down. Very, very, very great storytelling in and of itself. So I want to unpack that a bit, right?
Okay.
Long journey to get to this point. People see one of your titles, the King of Client Attraction, mm-hmm. but like you said, it wasn't just wake up one day and it's like, I'm making all these millions. It was right. a long journey for you to get there. You talked about being in the streets, falling back, trying to do the right, but constantly finding yourself back in the streets. What was it about online marketing that was finally the switch that flipped? Was it the money? Was it more about the impact that you were having? Was it about the space and everything that you were learning? What was it about that finally was the last time you were like, okay, I'm retiring from this lifestyle and I'm all in on helping these kind of businesses?
So for me, it was definitely the money.
Okay.
At first. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't gonna come in here and be like,
we gotta be honest.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't gonna come in here and be like, hey, man, it was all about helping people. Like, I've always been a helper, but it was about some money.
Yeah.
And the thing that clicked and made me go all in on it was I was still like in the streets, but I was still trying to do the network marketing stuff and the online stuff.
Got you.
But that was my for sure money.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? However, I got locked up one day. I had a warrant. I was driving. I had my son in the car with me and got pulled over.
Mm.
And I had a warrant that I didn't even know I had.
Wow.
So I went in. They took me to jail. I'm sitting in the holding cell. And I had been here several times before.
Right.
So this wasn't
Was it your first rodeo?
It wasn't my first rodeo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at that point, you know, you ever been to that point in your life where you like, man, it's time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I just done this too much, right? Mm-hmm. I had been getting in trouble since I was like 15. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I'm just tired of this. And like the cats in there, they're kind of excited about being there. They're more like, hey, man, just get me upstairs. I know such and such upstairs. Just get me to the room. And I'm like, man, if I get out of this, I'm good. And I'm like, I'm going to just draw the line and just mm-hmm. go all in and really see how far I can go with this legit business stuff. So I think that was the thing that really, I was like, man, I just need to go out. So when I got out, I got rid of everything that I had going on and I just shifted gears and like, I was like, I'm going all in like on making this thing work.
And fast forward several years later, I mean, I said it in the introduction, but when we talk about 1 billion, not MB.
Yeah.
That's a very different conversation, and that in and of itself is a testament not only to what you've been able to do, but the impact you've been able to have on other entrepreneurs as well, which made me even more excited for the conversation because there's so much that you've taught mm-hmm. in just free game, millions and millions of dollars worth of game that I really wanted to come on here and unpack. You slightly touched about one that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start off on the marketing side,
okay.
A field that you have expertise in. With a framework that you've coined that I've heard you talk about quite a bit that I really wanted to break down on this podcast, the client attraction flywheel.
Yeah.
For those who don't know what that is, could you break down what that is and how it works in business?
For sure. So the client attraction flywheel, if you look at like a circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the top of it, the first part of it is captivate.
Okay.
Right? So captivate is getting attention, mm-hmm. right? And I typically tell people it's two ways to get attention. Number one, you can do, hey, look at me marketing.
Okay.
Right? Which a lot of people do because a lot of people lean on, well, I won't say a lot, but there's people who lean on like visual persuasion.
Okay.
Right? Showing, you know, here's my car, here's my thing, here's my that. Here's my, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's just one way to do it.
So
right?
That's like lifestyle marketing.
Lifestyle marketing. Gotcha. Right? Okay. So that's one way to do it. Another way is becoming magnetic.
Okay.
Right? So like, how do you become magnetic? Showing people that you actually are great at what you do and help people solve their particular problem. Like, you do it amazingly on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's like you're magnetic because people know that when they come on there, they're going to get legit value.
Right.
It don't matter how much you show off or whatever. It's like, you can't deny when it's legit mm-hmm. gems, right? So first of all, we want to captivate. Then when we captivate, then we want to capture. So mm-hmm. the second C is capture. Mm-hmm. So we want to capture their name, email, phone number for mm-hmm. starters. Like I always tell people, there's three audiences that you want to build. Number one audience is you want to build an email list. Mm-hmm. Second audience is you want to build a social media audience. And number three is you want to build a pixel audience. Mm. Pixel audience is like when people go to your pages or they go to your Instagram, now you can actually show them ads because they've taken certain steps in your ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So you want to capture. And then once you capture those that information or that data, then you want to cultivate. Cultivating is like, how do you communicate? You ever heard the saying like ABC always be closing?
Yeah.
I believe that you actually should be ABC always be cultivating.
That's good.
Right? Because if you always be cultivating, we'll get to that in a second, mm-hmm. but if you always be cultivating, you don't got to worry about closing. People will close themselves, mm-hmm. right? So, like, for example, when we connected, you was like, man, I've been checking out your stuff for years.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right.
Now we get to meet in person, and who knows where this relationship is going to go.
Right.
Because a lot of the barriers have been broken because we've been rocking for a minute mm-hmm. without even meeting each other.
Right.
Now we can have different conversations mm-hmm. based on, like, I didn't come in here, you're like, I ain't never seen this guy before.
Yeah.
Like, if I came in here, you were like, I never seen this guy before. Not saying that you would have been different, mm-hmm. but it would have been more that we had to dig into because you weren't as familiar. You're cold, right? But now you're like, no, I've been checking, like, seeing what's going on for a minute. So now cultivating, you cultivate a couple different ways. Cultivate is going to be emailing with value-based content.
Okay.
Podcast is an amazing way to cultivate.
Very true.
Creating content mm-hmm. on your socials, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube is an amazing way to cultivate relationships.
Right.
Facebook groups, so however you nurture individuals, events, virtual events, live events, so how do you cultivate people? Mm-hmm. And then the fourth C is close. Mm-hmm. And not you closing them, but them actually closing you on why you should allow them to buy.
Say that again?
Them closing you on why you should allow them to buy versus you selling them on why they should buy.
Let's break down this client attraction flywheel a little bit more. Let's go a bit deeper. I want to start with captivate.
Okay.
Right? Getting attention and keeping attention.
Yep.
I think this is one of my favorite C's that I want to break down because, and I'm sure you've heard it too, being in the coaching space, when we talk about captivate and creating content, mm-hmm. the number one complaint, especially for new or early stage entrepreneurs, is I don't know what to talk about. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I don't feel comfortable getting in front of camera. Well, what if this happens? Like all these different excuses as to why people can't create content so that they can start captivating the audience that they want to sell to. Mm-hmm. If I'm watching this podcast right now and I see, you know, Marquell Russell on here, could you give a content creation strategy that you either normally give to some of your clients mm-hmm. or other business owners that you work with that someone could plug into their business today?
Yes. Shoot. If you're watching this video right now mm-hmm. and you've never created a piece of content and you're like, okay, Marquell, how do I start creating content? Mm-hmm. The first thing I want you to do is right now is I want you to grab your phone mm-hmm. and I want you to open the camera app and I want you to start recording mm-hmm. and start teaching something. And I'm going to give you a formula. I want you to say, I'm about to teach you blank. So here's the formula. Tell them what you're about to teach them. Teach them. Tell them what you just taught them. And then give them a call to action.
Say that again, but say it slow.
Tell them what you're about to teach them. Mm-hmm. Teach them. Tell them what you just taught them. Mm-hmm. And then give them a call to action.
Okay.
So for example, in this quick video, I'm about to show you how to create content to attract your ideal clients. Then now, it's crazy. I'm telling you how to do it and then do it. In this video, I'm going to show you how to create content to attract your ideal clients. Mm-hmm. Here's how you do it. Number one, you tell them what you're going to teach them. right? Just like I just did. I just told you what I was going to teach you. And then you teach them, just like I'm doing right now. I'm teaching you, right? And now I'm going to tell you what I just taught you. I just taught you the simple formula to create content. So now what I want you to do is click the link in the description somewhere and go get my cheat sheet on the on my top 90 content ideas that you can download right now so you'll never run out of content. Click on the link. Go download that right now. So that's a simple formula, and that's just freestyled it, right? But the biggest thing is people are caught up on, what camera should I get? What microphone should I get? What about none of that stuff matters. Like, nobody cares about any of that stuff. Like, people only care about people. A lot of times people think that people care about them more than they think they do. Like, people don't care about your hair. People don't care about what shirt you got on. People don't care, but people only care about. Now, should you have quality audio? Yes.
If you can.
Should you have quality lighting? Should you have some of the things? Yes. But you don't require any of that to get started. When I first got started, I had a webcam. Right? No lighting. Wasn't thinking about any of that type of stuff. It was like you just turn on the camera and you shoot. And the beautiful thing is people will begin to see you evolve and your content increase. So like Kevin and I, we just launched a new show. And I'm further along in my journey. And I still feel like I'm just getting warmed up. But we didn't launch it perfectly. We're still in here looking at, like, how can we make this even better? But it was like, if we would have tried to get it better first, we wouldn't be 17 episodes in at this particular point. But we're learning and we're getting data, we're watching it, and we're adding it. But the biggest thing is people just overcomplicate and they overthink it. When in reality, if you just get your phone and you just hold it up and you just shoot and you just teach, and it's real simple. If you read a book today and you got a nugget from that, pull out your camera and be like, hey, I just read this book called XYZ. I want to show up my number one nugget. Or, hey, I just watched this podcast episode. And here's a video idea that everybody watching this right now can do. You can hold your camera up and be like, hey, I just watched this podcast. I just watched the Marvin Francois show. And he had this amazing guy named Marquell Russell on there. And here's my number one takeaway from this episode.
Boom.
Right? And then share that. Whatever it is. Share that number one takeaway and then upload it to your social and then tag both of us. And then we could share it too.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And to even piggyback off of that, even for myself, like, you know, YouTube is the number one platform I'm prominent on. If you go to my YouTube channel, you look at like my top four videos, three of them were actually when I first started and I was shooting on an iPhone with no mic, no nothing, and in like this loud, ominous space with all of this echo. And those videos have gone on to do hundreds of thousands of views and still, even where I'm at now, still generate leads and cash flow for my business to this day because I was just intentional about just serving. Like if you're someone who shows up every single day and helps your target audience get closer and closer to their desired outcome, I don't care if you're shooting on an iPhone, a Canon camera, or you know, like you said, a webcam, like you're helping me. So I'm going to show up again tomorrow when you post your next piece of content. I think people just, to your point, either they get caught up in the technical or they think that maybe they don't know enough to come on a serve.
Here's what I found. At the core, people care. People will tell you that they want to help people, but at the core, they actually care more about how they look. So they'll say, well, why don't you shoot the video? I want to help people because I'm from the room. How many of y'all want to help people? Oh, everybody raise their hand. All right, cool. Why you ain't shooting videos? I don't care. I don't like how my voice sound. I don't like how I look on camera. And I'm like, everything that you said is about you. Nothing was about serving the people. Because if you genuinely cared about serving the people, you would shoot the content. Right? Because if you think about it, most people are terrified to speak on stage because they're so caught up on what other people are thinking while they're on stage. How's my voice sounding to them? What are they looking at me like that? What do I got on? What about this? It's like you're thinking about, you're so in your head about what these other people are saying, you can't even show up present and serve the people.
I remember one time, and this is through me doing my research, I remember one time you were speaking on stage. It was like an hour talk, and it was a clip. It was like a 15-minute clip from that hour talk you did. And you gave like a whole content. You started off as like, hey, who here is creating content? Nobody raised their hand. He was like, all right, cool. I'm going to give you guys a game on how to make it super simple. You gave like 10 minutes of like literally breaking it down from like hook and call to action and how to find value. And everyone was like, hey, do you guys receive value from that? And everyone was like, oh, yeah, it was amazing. Then you asked, okay, who's going to start creating content today? Nobody raised their hands. And in that moment, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It's not that you guys don't have the information. It's just you're in your own way. Like, it's crazy, but I mean, you know, once again, it's just the space we're in.
And the smarter people are, the harder is it. So Harvard Business Review has an article on this about teaching smart people. And it talks about the fact that it's harder to teach smart people. So I have clients that are MBAs, doctorate, the whole nine. And typically what I found is that, and this ain't no shade to nobody, but what I found is that the more educated people are, traditionally educated, the harder it is for them to actually learn. And then because learning is actually in the doing, not in the consumption of information.
There you go. Let's dive deeper into Calf Debate, because when we talk about content, it's not just the organic side. It's also the paid side of things as well.
Yep.
Once again, just going back to a lot of what I hear, I'm not even in the coaching space and I hear this, so I can only imagine how many times you get it in your DMs and email and just people that you speak to at events. Paid ads. Ads don't work. Mm-hmm. When I get ads, leads suck. You know, my click-through rate is down in the dumps. Like, ads don't work. I'm going to just focus on, for the people that don't like ads, they're just like, I'm going to just stick to 100% organic and I'm never going to spend a dollar on Facebook or TikTok or any of these platforms to get my stuff out there.
Yeah.
Yet there are multi-million and billion-dollar companies, some that you've worked with, that are pumping in hundreds of thousands of dollars into these platforms every day. So something, there's a disconnect here, right? Why do most entrepreneurs struggle when it comes to having success, when it comes to doing paid ads, and how do we fix it?
Great question. So basically, because a lot of times people think that ads only are designed to add gasoline, right? Okay. Ads are a magnifier.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't think about the offer, right? So it's like, if you don't have the right offer, it don't matter how much money you spend on ads, it's not going to work. If you don't have the right conversion mechanism, so like when they click on your ad, where do you send them to? Like I'll see people ad, and it's like they're clicking, they're having people go directly to their main website. And it's like, what are they supposed to do here? Are they supposed to scroll down and do X, Y, Z? I'm like, well, how do they know that? And like, it's like, that's not how it's supposed to work, right? And then it's like, all right, when they opt in here, so like, first of all, when they get to this page, it's not clear on what they get.
Yeah.
This page is not telling them the same thing they heard in the ad.
Mm-hmm.
When they opt in, they land here, what happens, right? And then what's your follow-up sequence? Like, most people don't have an email follow-up sequence. They don't have any retargeting. They don't have any of that type of stuff in place. So it's like ads are just, if you look at an iceberg, right? The ad is the tip of the iceberg. Everything else that makes the ad work is literally the rest of the iceberg.
Right.
So you got to have, first of all, you got to have a mentality of an investor. A lot of people run ads as a gambler, not an investor. So they're not thinking about, okay, what's my immediate ROAS, my return on ad spend, but most of my ROAS 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a year from now, two years from now, right? They're not thinking about that because they're just thinking about it from a gambler standpoint, not from an investor standpoint, because ads are the best way to grow and grow your wealth, right? Because if you think about it, you can get a 200, 300, 400% ROAS return on your money every 30 days.
If you have the right strategy.
If you had the right strategy.
Yeah.
So like, there's other ways you can invest. Of course, you got crypto, you got Forex, you got the stock market, you got different things, but predictably that you can control, real estate, whatever, nothing can outperform well done ads if you do it the right way. But again, it's a more holistic approach when it comes to doing ads. And a lot of people think it's just a matter of going in there, clicking a few buttons, uploading the image, shooting a video. But it's like, it's multiple different components that actually make an ad work.
We don't have to get too much into the nitty gritty of the behind the scenes and strategy, but similar to what we did with content, could you give a simple framework we could use in terms of just how to write or create a good ad that we could launch today?
For sure. So basically what I would say is, so let's just say, for example, give me an offer.
Let's say I have a coaching program for $1,000.
All right, so a coaching program for $1,000. So what I would do in the ad, what's the coaching program about?
I help real estate investors who are struggling to find their first property.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I would shoot an ad, and I would say, you have real estate investors
who are struggling to find it. So like, you're an aspiring real estate investor.
Aspiring, perfect.
Yeah.
So I might shoot an ad, and the video may say, So the video may say, all right, cool. All right. So I would start off just like this. So I would say, there's a lot of real estate gurus that's out here telling you that you can do all these different ways to actually do real estate. You got fix and flips, you got wholesaling, you got multifamily, and the list just goes on and on. Here's the bad thing. Most of these real estate investors haven't ever done a deal. They only teach. And a lot of them aren't telling you the truth about the real estate market right now. So if you're an aspiring real estate investor and you haven't done your first deal just yet, click on the link right now and I'm going to give you my three-step checklist. I'm going to walk you through step by step by step exactly how you can actually land your first real estate deal in the next 90 days or less. I'm going to give you this 100% free. Once you check it out, if you want me to talk about how I can help you, you'll see those details. But I want to give you this sheet so that way you can prevent going to pay somebody tens of thousands of dollars to learn something that they actually haven't done yet. So go get the cheat sheet right now. I've used this to do 45 deals, and it helped me do my first deal even when I was working a full-time job. And you can get it for free right now. Click on the link right now. Go get it. Mm-hmm. So boom. So that's the creative. So in the creative, so like when you're doing an ad, you got copy, you got creative, you got your conversion mechanism, right? So your copy, those are the words in the text part, and your creative is whether you're using a video or image, and then your conversion mechanism is where they go on when they click on the ad, right? So when they click on the ad, they're going to go over to a page. It's going to say free video or free one page cheat sheet gives you the simple three things to do to get your first deal in the next 90 days or less. So now when it comes to ads, it's a term called AdSent, S-C-E-N-T. So it has to be congruent with what they just saw in the ad. So now we want that landing page to say exactly what we just said in the ad, right? So now they're going to go over, they're going to enter the name, email, and phone number. They're going to go over and that now it's not just going to be a downloadable. Some people on that next page, it says, check your email for the thing. It's like, that's a huge mistake.
Right.
Like, that's a huge missed opportunity.
Right.
On that page, what we're going to do, we're going to say, hey, congratulations on getting access to this cheat sheet. Let's get right into it. I'm going to walk you through the cheat sheet right now. And I'm going to, like, literally go into the cheat sheet. Let me share my screen. I'm going to walk them through it. Boom, 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 boom. And then it's, okay, cool. Those are the steps. And if you're like, hey, if you're anything like me and you want to get this done even faster, we got a program where we custom walk you through this whole process step by step by step. We even provide deals to clients. So as we're getting new deals, we got so many deals coming in, we can't handle them all, right? But we actually not only present these deals to you, but we also got private money lenders who can actually help fund the deals for you as well. And we walk you through this whole process. If you like the sound of that and you want all the resources, all the tools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and we guarantee results because we, as long as you're doing the work, right, we work with you until you actually close your first deal. So if that's something of interest to you, click on the button below, schedule a quick call, and let's get on the phone and see if it's a good fit.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you two coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Masterclass. There you go right there. So that's the captivate side of things.
Yep. And let me add this.
Do that.
Typically about 10% of those individuals are going to book a call. So we got about 90% who don't. So now we need to put them in a follow-up sequence where every day we're sending them more value, teaching them more stuff, and then just continuing to invite them to a call. And now that's what we're going to, I think we're going to go into.
That's more, I think, the cultivate
that's
side.
That's the cultivate.
Let's talk about capture. Let's real do quick. It. One of the things I've heard you talk about in one of your presentations is the importance of having a good lead magnet. Because if your free stuff sucks, why would I think that your paid stuff is going to be any good?
Yep.
How do we go about creating a valuable lead magnet for our audience?
I would say stop. I'm so glad you hit on that. I would say stop giving away free stuff.
Explain that.
Let me explain it.
Yeah.
Stop giving. So like some people are like, this the free stuff, but this the paid stuff. No. Give away the paid stuff. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, all right. Thank you, Holy Spirit, right? I just got this download.
Okay.
So God wants us to give us his what? His best. And God also called us to serve his people. So why would we give his people less than his best.
Right.
Or less than our best.
I'm with you.
So it's like, I wouldn't sit back and be like, all right, I know I'm trying to nurture Marvin to become a client.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give him this.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm going to give Marvin my best stuff.
Right.
So you can be like,
mm-hmm.
This is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can only imagine what the pace of. So a lot of times people ask me, well, should I sell this for $97 or $497 or whatever? I'm like, no, give it away for free.
Mm-hmm.
Give that away for free. So they can be like, wow, this is incredible.
But now if I give that away, because this is going to be a common question. Well, this is my best stuff. If I give my best stuff away for free, how does my business make money?
If that's your best stuff, then you got to get better.
Mm.
You're probably not as good as you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get better. And here's the kicker.
Talk to me.
Here's the kicker. Information is abundant.
Mm-hmm.
Implementation isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you give away the information and then you charge a premium for the implementation. Because the implementation is where the transformation comes from. Not in the information. Because information is everywhere.
This is good.
So like they're going to pay you to synthesize to implement. So that's why I tell people, even when you sell higher ticket offers, people be thinking you got to give them more stuff because they're paying you more money. They're actually paying you more money for less.
Mm.
They want you to condense it.
Mm.
So it's like, how do you don't give away your, I'm like, oh, this is a free. It's like, nah, give them your best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people out there just throwing stuff out there. Like, the best way to prove to people you can help them is by actually helping them. So you give them your free stuff and you say, okay, if you like this, you will love
X, Y, and Z.
X, Y, and Z.
This is good.
It's like, if you think about it.
Talk to me.
One model who gets this is Chinese restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like this here, but in Atlanta, if you walk through the food court, they out there with samples.
Okay. I don't think they do that here in New York.
Yeah, so in Atlanta, like if you walk through the food court,
mm-hmm.
like the Chinese restaurants,
mm-hmm.
they giving you samples.
Right.
And like, hey, sample.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you go over, you might be on the way to Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they get a sample, you like,
hold on now.
You like, hold on now. You like, hey, let me get some of that and some rice.
Mm-hmm.
But they not like, hey, let's give them this
mm-hmm.
and then see if they'll like the less than stuff mm-hmm. and then sell it.
No. Now, I'm going to say, let you sample my best so that 100%. You know what we got going on in
the kitchen. I call it the dope boy method. It's the same thing in the streets. Like, if we on the block and you got the new work in,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to go out and get samples of some let. You're not going to be like, oh, we're going to get them samples of this, which ain't really that good. It's like, no, you're going to go out there and get samples of your best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you know, like, oh, when they ready to buy, who they going to come see?
Your boy. You are truly. Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
I'm with you. this is very, very powerful stuff. So that's the capture side. Let's swing over to cultivate.
Okay.
You talked about, in another one of your presentations, you talked about the 7-11-4 rule,
yep.
right? You need an average of 7 hours. An average prospect needs 7 hours of research,
yep.
11 touch points in 4 different locations before they buy.
Yep.
So when it comes to the cultivation process, what are some of the different ways? You talked a little bit about email nurture and content and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Break down, if I'm trying to create the absolute best process to where once I capture somebody, I nurture them so much where it's like, I got to give this dude, or I got to give this one my money. What does that cultivation process need to look like?
So great question. So it's crazy that I actually posted on the way here.
Okay.
Was on the flight.
Okay.
And I talked about last weekend we did our client only boot camp.
Awesome.
And you know, right now everybody's talking. And what the statement I made was old is new again.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I meant by that was at one point, a few years ago, everybody was like, you know, automation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't pick up the phone and talk to people. Just automate that. Use a bot, whatever. Don't, like, talk to people. Even to the point where it was like even doing a webinar live wasn't cool anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, man, just automate the webinar. You know, don't reply to your DMs. Just let a bot do that. So it was like, just automate everything. But that caused people now more than ever to actually crave high touch mm-hmm. and, like, human connection. Right. So I was like, well, how do you and then the second question I asked was like, how many of you would engage with if you DM somebody who you want to work with, how many of you would engage with their bot and go back and forth with their bot? Nobody raised their hand. And I was like, let me drive this point further home. I was like, when you call customer service
mm-hmm.
and that AI assistant pop up.
Zero.
Right.
Representative.
Representative. Listen, I literally said, when y'all call support, And they're like, hey, I'm such and such. I can help you. What do y'all normally say? The whole room said representative. Exactly. So I'm like, well, if that's the case, why are you believing that you can deal with humans like that? Just because some influencer said that's the way to do it, right? So now let me go back to your question. So how do we do it? So let's say we run that same ad, same business. We run an ad. We're teaching people how to get their first real estate deal. That's their first touch. When they saw that ad, they click on the link. That's another touch. They opt in. They see another touch. Now, guess what? When they opt in, they're going to receive an email. They're going to receive a text message to give them the thing that we told them. And somebody's going to call them. Some people are like, call them? Yeah. Some people are going to call them. Hey, what's up, Marvin? I saw you download the thing Kev just shot. He put out the video, showed you how to get your first deal. Saw you download it. Man, I'm on Kev's team. I work directly with him. Want to make sure you actually got access to the download. Oh, man, I haven't even checked my email yet. All right, cool. Well, are you able to check now or when you got a second? Like, I want to just make sure you got everything you need. All right, let me check my email real quick. Perfect. By the way, why are you doing that? What actually made you download it? Oh, man, I'm really looking forward to them deal, blah, 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 blah. Have you tried other stuff before? Well, I bought such and such thing. It didn't work out. Well, what has you wanted to get into real estate?
Oh, this is good.
You know what I'm saying? Now we having a conversation. Now it's like, all right, cool, man. Like I said, this was just designed to make sure you got everything. If you want to have another quick call or if you got a few more minutes, we can actually talk more about some other resources that we make and connect you with. You got a couple minutes? And at that point, they're like, well, yeah. Or they may be like, well, I don't got a good time now, but I'll reschedule. Either way, it's cool. And they say, well, this ain't a good time. All right, cool. This super cold. This ain't really a good time. I just stumbled across y'all. Not really right now. All right, no worries. I want to just confirm your email. What's your email? You know, marvin@gmail.com Perfect. I got some other resources that that Kev did. I'm going to send you over an email with these videos so you can actually check those out. And I'm going to add my phone number to that email as well, so you can check those videos out and just shoot me any questions you got.
Can I share two quick stories with you that line up perfectly with that?
Yeah.
I'll start off first with, so even in my own business, right, we have a community offer that we recently launched, and I was trying to figure out all the different ways to, like, improve, like, conversion. Like, lead gen has never really been a problem for me. Once I get people in, okay, how can I turn these people into members of my community? So we created an SMS sequence, and when I was pitching the idea to my team, I was like, okay, I got an idea. Once they get my free value resource, I'm going to have the first automated SMS that goes out, ask them, like, hey, you know, what kind of business are you looking funding for? And I personally am going to swoop in and have a conversation with them. And they was like, you're crazy. Like, what? You don't have to do that. Automate that. I'm like, bro, I got it. Trust me. So when I swooped in, literally, once I would, like, start to have conversation with people, the first question on the max is this a bot? Is this a bot? So I had to, like, let them know, like, no, this is really me. And immediately it was like, okay, cool, I'm ready to join. Like, right away. Well, that was one example. Another example, I had another colleague of mine in the funding space, and he recently launched a community as well. He was able to scale his, like, really, really fast. So I was asking him, like, hey, what are you doing to get all these people in your community and, more importantly, keep them there? Because retention was, like, his churn, and for those who don't know, I mean the percentage of people that are canceling every single month was like 3 to 5% for like a $50 a month offer. He was like, the only thing I did differently was that when people would join my community, 5 minutes after they joined, I would have somebody on my team call them right away and just make sure they were set up. That in and of itself, like, because once again, to your point, because we're in this AI automated space, people are so used to talking to, you know, bots and everything else that they don't think they're going to get a real person. So now you can actually have the upper hand when you or you have someone on your team reach out and just have a 5-minute conversation. Hey, are you good? By the way, tell me a little bit about yourself. Because now people are emotionally invested in you and the brand. It's like, oh, I'm locked in.
I'm locked in.
I'm staying forever. I'm good.
Because what we know about humans, humans want to be seen and heard. It's like if you they don't feel seen or they don't feel heard. Like like Kevin tell you, so we got a show called The Strategic Scale Show. In one of our first episodes, I broke down. I did a deep dive with this young lady. And she has a massive membership. And we was looking at, we talked about churn.
Cassandra Smith.
Exactly. So I was like, so we sat down in Cassandra's business and, like, did a full deep dive because Cassandra's a client. And we did a deep dive and we was like, let's just do it on the show. So we just did it on the show. And we dove into the whole thing. And one thing that I was like, look, we need to have, every member should have a concierge. And the concierge can have more than one client, more than one member. Every person who enrolls should get a phone call. And she was like, what? Like, how do you do that? And I'm like, because now they're like, wow.
You care. Yeah.
It's not, because it's $50, but it's like, that $50 could mean the world to somebody.
For sure.
Some people are like, man, it's just $50. It's like, no, that $50 could mean dinner.
Yeah.
for a week for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we just can't, just because we get to a point where it's like we're making all this and we're doing all this, we can't like minimize mm-hmm. what somebody else, and that $50 could lead to $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you missed, that $50 could have been a test
mm-hmm.
to see how this worked, but you don't know. But you, because you mishandled them, mm-hmm. you, they know you're going to mishandle them with $50,000.
That's it. That's it. This is good. This yep. is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's dive a little bit more to the final C, which I think is actually a great segue more so to the sales side when we talk about close.
Yeah.
I want to talk about sales. I want to talk about pricing. I want to talk about offers.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of problems that most business owners deal with in this arena.
Mm-hmm.
Starting off more so with the pricing side, right? I think one of the common things that I see most individuals talk about is, well, I have this offer. How do I know if I charge $4,000? How do I know if I charge $5,000? Do I charge $300, $500? Like, what is the price tag I put on this to where it makes sense, to where I'm not sure to myself, but I feel like I'm getting enough return and people actually want to buy? And
yeah.
a lot of times it's so bad to the point where, I'm sure you've seen this, you have people who have one offer and they're changing the price on it like every other week because they yeah. just, they don't know.
They don't know.
You've worked with a lot of these business owners. What's yeah. a framework or teaching that you're giving a lot of them that they are implementing in their business that people are watching in this audience can take as well?
So I was talking to our CFO the other day, and he was like, man, I'm so fascinated about how people do their pricing.
Okay.
He was like, where do people get these prices from? Like, he was like genuinely curious.
Right.
Because if you think about it, like, somebody may charge $9.97
mm-hmm.
just because that's what other people are charging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or $2.97. And it's like, they actually haven't sat down and ran the numbers of like, yeah, you're selling a lot of these for $297, but are you actually profitable when it comes to like your delivery? I just did another deep dive with a client. And as we ran down his numbers, I done this like two totally different business models. And as we ran down the numbers, they actually realized that they're in the red mm-hmm. every time they enroll a new client.
Mm-hmm.
From when, well, they're like, because in their mind, they're like, well, it's just my time that I'm delivering. Mm-hmm. And it's like, your time has a value too. So once you run those numbers, you're actually in the red with every new client. So mm-hmm. so typically it's like, for number one, we start with, who do you want to be in the marketplace? Because I think your pricing has everything to do with your positioning and your brand in the marketplace. So do you want to be a premium brand?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a luxury brand? Because you got luxury and then you got premium. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to be a mass market brand? It's not a good or bad.
You got to pick. Yeah.
Right. How you want your positioning to be. And if you want to go super volume and you're charging, you know, $7 a month for a membership and you want tens of thousands of people in there, fantastic. Right. Or if you want to go premium and you want to charge $10,000, $15,000, $25,000, but with less clients,
mm-hmm.
fantastic. Or if you want to go super luxury and it's $100,000 per client plus percentage of upside, then you could do that as well. But I think it really boils down to, who do you want to be in the marketplace? And then that's going to dictate your marketing, your conversion mechanism, your ad costs, and all those different things.
Mm-hmm. To piggyback off of that, you also have another framework that you teach called the elevator model. Mm-hmm. And you kind of touched on it earlier where it's like, why are you selling people the $47 thing?
Yeah.
If your $4,700 thing is what's actually getting people the results. Yeah. So dive a little bit more into that and how that works perfectly with what you're talking about in terms of, if I'm a business owner, figuring out what pricing model and I'm choosing for this offer that I'm putting out for the marketplace.
This brother did his homework.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. I had to.
This brother did his homework, Kev. So the elevator funnel. So when I first came into the online world,
mm-hmm.
the model that everybody was doing and teaching, and it was fascinating, was like, you sell something, you sell a tripwire,
mm-hmm.
that they called it.
Okay.
Then you upsell them something, yep. and then you upsell them something, then you upsell them something, then you upsell them something, and then you finally eventually get to the higher ticket offer on the back end.
Yeah.
I saw it, tried to do it a little bit. It just never sat right with my spirit.
Okay.
And the reason why, now some people do it in integrity, but a lot of people weren't. Their only goal for selling the low ticket was to offset ad expense.
Right.
And to get them to buy the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if you only sell somebody something just for the sake of getting them to buy the next thing, I believe that's out of integrity.
Mm.
Because they bought this thing to get a specific transformation.
Okay.
If that thing doesn't get them the transformation, why are you selling it to them?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So integrity to me is, you never sell somebody less than what you know they need.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like if I know you're very thirsty, I wouldn't be like, hey, buy this much water.
Right.
Because I know that's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you need a full bottle. for example, mm-hmm. right? So that was what I call the stair step model. Free, $97 or $7, $297, $497, $5,000, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. to finally get to the main thing. Because I don't know if you're anything like me. It's like, if I knew you had a $5,000 thing, and that was the thing that's going to really get me the result,
mm-hmm.
why would you sell me the $50 thing if you know that was the thing?
I remember you had a great analogy for it, too. You talked about, like, you don't go to a car dealership, and then they sell you a book about the car.
Yeah.
Like that. They sell you a DIY about the car. Like, no, you're here
they
to buy a car.
They sell you the car.
They sell you the car, yeah.
They sell you the car. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like... They sell you the car. So right. It's like, all right. I was like, all right, that's going up the stairs,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the slower way. Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with stairs. So mm-hmm. if we go to a hotel, we go to, you know, the Ritz-Carlton or whatever.
Right.
And we're on the 30th floor.
Mm-hmm.
We can go up the stairs, right? And we make it. It's mm-hmm. just going to take us longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The faster way is what? To go up the elevator.
Yep.
So that's why we create the elevator funnel, because we want to get the client to the ideal outcome as fast as possible, right? And then I also found that when somebody buys like a lower ticket type of thing anyway, mm. only about 3% of them actually even log in. Mm. So that hinders me helping them get to the transformation.
Right.
So I'm like, if I can invest more in a transformation, even if they have to invest more a little bit, and we can take them through the elevator and get them fat. That's why when I did the ad example, I did an example of the elevator funnel. It's like you go from an ad, you click on ad, you opt in, you get the video. Hey, let's have a conversation about the real thing. Let's not penny pinch you or none of that.
This is good.
The biggest risk that most entrepreneurs take is trying to build a successful business without funding. But that risk is a reality for one out of every three entrepreneurs because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be in order for them to access that capital. Now, the truth is you can close the gap between where your business is versus where you want it to be by leveraging business credit, but if your personal credit report is poor, 99% of banks and lenders are going to deny you from doing so. And I should know, because a couple of years ago, I leveraged my personal credit report to get funding from Chase to start my company. And now that very same company, Take All Financial, is serving entrepreneurs just like you that are looking to restore their credit to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding. So if you want to go from risk to reward, click the link above or below this video to schedule your free consultation so that we can restore your credit and put you in position to access capital to build the business of your dreams.
What is the 747 framework?
So this brother is I'm like, hey. So the 747 framework. So it's basic. It boils down to, if you think about it, a 747 jet.
Mm-hmm.
It has 4 engines.
Yeah.
Right. And if one of the engines was to go out, the plane could actually still fly.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wouldn't be optimal.
Mm-hmm.
In business, a business has to have 4 engines as well.
Right.
It has to have, in simple terms, it has to have a marketing engine.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have a sales engine, right? It has to have a delivery engine, and it has to have an operations engine. Or delivery and operations can be in the same.
Okay.
But it has to have a financial engine.
Okay.
So, like, what's happening with the finances? Can a business run without one of those engines? Mm. Yes. However, it won't be optimal. It won't operate till its fullest capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the 747, it can fly, but it won't operate to its fullest capacity. It's kind of like if let's say somebody has 2 legs their entire life.
Right.
If they lose a leg, you know, they can still operate on 1 leg,
mm-hmm.
but would their body be able to operate to its fullest capacity? No. And it's like, even in your body is made up of different systems. Like, if one of your systems go out in your body, like, and we've seen it even in the health, in the medical world, it's mm-hmm. like your body can still function, but it has to overcompensate for the area in your body that's not working the way that it's not supposed to, that it should be working. So it's the same thing in business. You got to have these different engines.
The reason why I asked that is because I saw you made a post where you talked about how, you know, you actually wanted to retire the title of King of Client Attraction. Yep. Because people kind of took that and ran with it. It was like, oh, he's just sales and marketing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you guys get so much more into just the granular side of mm-hmm. what it takes to build a successful business. So when we talk about the 747 method, and that, like, once again, you have these 4 engines, and yep. could a business run out without one? Yes. But would it be optimal? No. From your experience, if we're just talking about people that are trying to get to that multi-six figure, like I'm talking about like early stage entrepreneur, what is the biggest thing that you see that is missing from that 747 jet that they're running that's keeping them from getting there?
I think the biggest thing they're missing is pump faking.
Like, what's pump faking?
Pump faking is getting ready to get ready.
Okay.
Like they're trying to get another logo did. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get their website perfect. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do another headshot, another brand shoot. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't need all that to get to six figures. Like because let's say for example you have you're a financial firm or you're a coach or a therapist, whatever your model is. Yeah. Let's say you sell a higher price offer, mm-hmm. and you sell it for $5,000. You only need 20 clients. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what if you just focused on marketing and sales? Because now you need to start getting some proof of concept. You need to figure out, do you even really want to do this business for real, mm-hmm. before you start investing in a lot of infrastructure? Mm-hmm. Because you may realize you don't want to even do this business. So I was interviewed the other day, and it was like the gentleman asked me, somebody who's listening right now and they're brand new, what would you tell them to focus on? I said, tell them to focus on getting and serving their first 10 customers or clients. Mm. That's it. You don't need an ad to do it. Mm-hmm. Right, you don't need a big following. You don't need a podcast.
You can open your phone right now and find your next.
You can pick
customer.
Up your phone right now.
Yep.
Right, and call and make tens. If you're not willing to do that, you probably should stay off of the court.
Yeah.
Right, because you're gonna just pump fake. But I need a podcast, and it's gonna take you 90 days to get your podcast started. Mm-hmm. And then you got one people viewed it. Now you're mad, mm-hmm. and it's like, no, you've been doing this podcast how long?
2 years now.
2 years, right. And you was doing your YouTube how long before you launched the podcast?
6-7 years.
So you've been building this platform for 7 years.
Yeah.
But somebody will see your podcast and they'd be like, I want that. And they'll go buy a podcast course, mm-hmm. and they'll think because it didn't pop off, and they don't realize, and they'll hear, oh, he only been doing it 2 years. It's like, no, he's been building this platform 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that's almost a decade.
Yeah,
most people would never do that, right? but it's like, pick up your phone, send out some DMs, start some conversations, focus on that. And I would say, if you're trying to get to six figures, figure out what's the most you can charge, mm-hmm. for your one thing. Don't try to sell multiple things. Pick one thing that you want to sell. What's the most you can sell it for? Who is the ideal client? And sell a handful of those. That's it.
Markwell Russell. This was easily one of the more fruitful conversations that I've had. Whenever you see Josh nodding in the corner, we did good. We did good. I appreciate you so much for coming on here, brother.
Thank you, man.
I said it off camera. Said at the top, I'll say it again. I've been following you for some time. You've been cultivating, right? This meeting that we've had here today and the fruit that is born, not just for me, but I know for everyone that's watching at home. Wow, is stupendous. I appreciate you immensely. I know we got to get you out of here. Before we do, any closing words for people who are listening? And of course, let the people know where they can find you and what you have going on. Your camera right there.
Yeah, for sure. So I would say it's real simple. So whatever your favorite social media platform is, connect with me there. If you're on Instagram, connect with me there. My name is just Markwell Russell, MarkuellRussell. Shoot me a DM. Let me know you was on the show with me and Marvin. I'd love to connect. And then also I put together a page. If you go to scalemadeeasy.com, so S-C-A-L-E, made, M-A-D-E, easy, .com. I got tons of free resources over there that you can dive into and actually dive into those four engines that we talked about. And if you want to build a business that's more predictable, more scalable, more sustainable, more enjoyable, and sellable, if you decide to sell in the future, all the assets are there for you. So just go to scalemadeeasy.com and grab it. And my closing remarks, I would say really understand that we're in the best time in the history of the world to be alive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what the media is saying, what politicians are saying. I don't care what nobody's saying. We live in the best time in the history of the world to be alive. Like, we're on a podcast right now. It's probably millions of people watching this video. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about our ancestors, on my wall, I got just black business icons in my office. And if you think about Madam C.J. Walker, she built a multi-million-dollar organization. She didn't have social media.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a podcast. You know what I'm saying? She was like literally on the back end of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think about what they built, O.W. Gurley's, if you think about the A.G. Gastons of the world, you know, all of our ancestors who built something massive,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have it, a lot of times we take it for granted and we're pump faking and trying to get ready when you got access to all the resources that you could ever require. And you can tap into a brother like my guy Marvin who can actually help you get the funding.
Come on now.
Right? To fund mm-hmm. your dream, mm-hmm. and then when Marvin help you get the funding, then you come see us,
mm-hmm.
and then we help you properly allocate the funding so you can actually build something for real.
I love it. And listen, on that note, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to a powerful, powerful episode here on the Marvin Francois Show. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead and hit the like button, show this episode some love, and tell a friend to come back and rewatch it again. But as always, my name is Marvin Francois. Marquell Russell. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. And as always, family, thank you and God bless. Peace.
Peace.